Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for another episode of the Friends with Money podcast. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine, and it's great to be with you once again. Whether it's energy bills, fruit and veg at the supermarket, or a new pair of jeans, I think we're all very much aware of the fact that the price of many goods and services have shot up at a greater rate of knots than usual over the past year or so. The good news on this front is that inflation may have peaked, though. After reaching an annual rate of 8.4% in December, the latest monthly inflation figures put out by the ABS show that the consumer price index fell to 6.8% in February. The bad news is that 6.8% is still not great. It's a fair deal higher than most of us are used to, that's for sure. So while rapidly rising prices are a bit of an unfortunate fact of life at the moment, that's not to say that there aren't ways to fight back against inflation, though. And joining us today to share her thoughts on the subject, as well as hopefully a few inflation buses, is author, financial advisor, and founder of On Your Own Two Feet, Helen Baker. Helen, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
It is our pleasure, Helen. First of all, I feel like we all know about the war in Ukraine and some of the supply chain issues that arose during COVID and, you know, the impact that those two factors have had on inflation. But I'm interested to get your opinion on, you know, whether or not you think our current inflation woes go beyond these issues at all.
Well, I do wonder whether it's an opportunity for companies to be a little bit greedy and whether or not it's a nice, easy statement to say, oh, well, our prices have increased because of inflation. And I question whether that's just an easy out. I mean, we definitely have had some challenging times over these last years. At one point, we sort of had negative inflation or zero inflation. And if you accumulate where we're at over that time, there's possibly an argument there, but I just feel like it's an easy opportunity. We live in a world that is a little bit greedy. Are they taking advantage through this time? So we probably need media likes of yourself and government to start questioning whether or not this is just taking advantage.
It's a really good point, Helen. But I'm also interested, what are you seeing yourself, you know, in the life of Helen? What have you seen in the way of price rises recently?
Yeah, so I guess like everybody else, certainly the grocery, I remember actually just saying to a butcher the other day, I was like, popped out of my mouth before I even realised, I said, is that right? I was actually really shocked for the little three bags I got, how much it was. But if you know your prices, you can start to see where there's possibly a lot of creep. So, for example, I'll buy a bottle of soda water. It used to be about 65 cents. It went up to about 79 cents. And now they're at $1.10. So that's a good 30% increase. So if we're talking about inflation being 70%, what seems to be happening out in the grocery stores or places where you buy your products from, a lot of the cleaning products have just gone up a flat dollar across everything. And the other items are sort of going up 25, 30%. Mm. But there is always a link to transport costs, which is petrol, obviously. But seems to me that when petrol prices come down, I don't seem to see that being reflected at the cash register. So I think we've got to be aware of what that is and maybe starting to choose whether or not we really need those products, because at the end of the day, it's supply and demand. If we don't demand as much, they'll have more supply and they'll have to reduce their prices.
It's a really good point, and it does feel like, at least from trips to the supermarket that I've had, that some brands do seem to be taking liberties a little bit, because there's no way that, you know, like you said, the cost of soda water has gone up that much, and I've seen it in my own bills. So anyway, I'm sure we could talk about that all day. It's it's definitely something that that gets on my goat. We were talking before the show about how quickly, at least from a financial perspective, things have changed over the past few years. So do you think that people I guess, are still coming to terms with these cost of living increases?
I think so. A friend of mine used to have a saying that said, when something has been pulled out of shape, it will never go back to its original shape. And so if you think about 3 years ago, you know, the government was kind of throwing money at us. We had extremely low interest rates, in fact, unprecedented interest rates. Most people were actually still employed, unless, unfortunately, you're in hospitality or travel. So we saw all this money being floated around, people finding new things to do. So, you know, Kmart did very well. We have renovations, camper vans, and people were still holidaying in some places, but just not overseas. And then coming out of that, now we've sort of seen what they call revenge travel. And people are out there getting the travel happening again and doing things. So we've kind of changed shape from where we were perhaps 3 years ago. And it can be termed things like lifestyle creep, but it's going back and looking over, okay, how much have I adjusted my lifestyle or my spending habits in the last 3 years? Is some of it inflation that I'm finding it hard, or is it actually that I've become accustomed to this lifestyle and it's very hard to change that when and go back to the way that you were managing money before?
So it sounds like a bit of a mindset adjustment that you know some of us might need. That there's been this little bit of a lag since COVID, and now we've really got to kind of reassess where we're at.
Yeah, I think lag is a really good word, because I think people are starting to go, you know, around this time now. A lot of people are saying they're not going away on holidays this time. You know, there's a pullback in a lot of areas. There is a pullback on spending. You know, even the other day I was at the hairdresser, she was saying that people are booking their appointments further out. Where they used to buy product before, they're not buying product. So there is definitely a feeling out there where people are reassessing, but I think it's probably quite a long way down the track from where it might have happened if we'd sort of got on the front foot earlier. And I guess for some people, they perhaps didn't expect this inflation to last as long as it has.
Definitely. I think a shift in mindset is a really good starting point. But, you know, what are some of the more, I guess, practical ways that people can push back a bit against rising prices in their lives?
Yeah, and I guess a nice thing if we're loyal by nature, unfortunately, sometimes what we call the loyalty tax, so you stay committed to where you are. So classic at the moment is the banks are actually offering cash refunds to switch. They would rather get new people than kind of sometimes keep their current clients, which is a little bit mind-blowing for me. But anyway, so there are opportunities out there, and this is where you can start to use services and brokers and so on that can actually add value and do the work for you and find out where those opportunities are. Another one is insurance, because goodness me, how much are we paying for insurance and how much does it increase? So if you look at personal insurances, which is what financial advisors often deal with, you know, that's gone up 25, 30% based on some other reasons for that. And your advisor can talk about that. But if you look at the other insurances, so home contents, we've had a lot of disasters for quite a while. And so they have been incrementally increased, but actually quite significantly. And what I'm hearing is that for people who go back and challenge their insurer, they are actually dropping the price, which means to me, or the premium means to me, there is fat in there. So if you're accepting it, maybe you should consider whether you should push back. But the other thing I think of, my general insurance broker looked at my situation and actually increased the amount of cover that I was covering because of the cost. You know, you think at the moment, if, heaven forbid, something happened to your house, you know, replacing that now would be significantly more because of the cost of product that's coming in and this unknown that's in there. So the cover increased, but in to manage it, you know, we did a higher excess, because obviously if it's a significant issue, then the excess is going to be very small compared to the big, big picture. If it's a smaller item, you know, then obviously you'd like a smaller excess to make it make sense. But these are the trade-offs where a general insurance broker can look at a whole range of things, including, for example, you know, do you have flood cover, but you're on the top of a mountain? You know what I mean? Like, there are things that somebody who's an expert in their field can rip it apart and have a look. Other ones, again, not my area of expertise, but you look at the vehicle usage, you know, there's, you could Google easily about, you know, speed versus the use of tyres and what's the optimal travel kilometres you should be using, the right petrol. So there's another one, like my mechanic told me to actually use for my car a certain petrol because it's actually better for the car and you use less, even though it costs more at the bowser for the initial. So again, smarter people than me in that area. It's not my area of expertise, but you probably need to go and revisit all your fixed costs, which I say are like, you know, the bills, because they rarely change in terms of your usage or your ability to not use them. But you can sort of look at whether or not the fees that you're being charged are appropriate. Are there alternatives? And then you have to go back to that revisiting the fun costs that we were talking about before, you know, that's where we've expanded or lifestyle creeped a bit. Are there bits that we should shave off from there? And subscriptions are a classic one because they just mount up easily. Everybody's got them, but actually you can only watch one show at a time. So do you just hit one of those or, you know, trade with friends and so on, and make sure if you're entitled to Centrelink or childcare, everything's up to date there, and even investing in yourself. So rather than thinking of shrinking, how can I actually grow? You know, can I expand who I am in my career and get, you know, better pay down the track, and can that help? So different strategies, expanding as well as shrinking.
Helen, it's interesting that you were talking about the loyalty tax before, because this is just a quick example of how effectively someone and how easily someone can potentially avoid that. Editor Michelle Balthazar was telling us the other day that she managed to reduce her home loan rate simply by messaging her bank online and asking if they could do a better deal for her. And they gave her a lower rate within 24 hours.
Fantastic.
And that was it. No friction at all. The easiest thing in the world, and such an easy way to combat rising interest rates. Beyond those kind of financial products that you've already talked about, Helen, are there any other ways that, you know, people could potentially be saving at present?
I'm quite a fan of the old Facebook Marketplace, just as a really great way to recycle. So I'm a big environmental person. So I think, you know, buying things that maybe haven't been used very much if you are looking for something, but also an opportunity to sell off some of the things that you want. It's surprising what some other people might like. So you might have a garage full of, or even using storage. Some people have got storage because they have so many things, you know, revisiting those and going, actually, do I really need them? Can I bless somebody else with that who needs it? And obviously helping the environment, but getting some money in your back pocket rather than having things that just lose value over time. And then another one that's really interesting is around solar. So, you know, I look at some examples of someone I know who was paying about $800 a quarter for their electricity and then paid for solar to go on the roof, but then never pays electricity bills ever again at this point in time. So yes, it's an investment. And again, we're talking about, you know, how do we shrink some of this and pull back? But in a way, it can be invest that money now, pay in a year's time, it will have paid for itself, hopefully, or a year and a half. And then you're set up. So, and then you're actually starting to get ahead further and further and make those savings. So depending on your situation, it may or may not be appropriate for you, but it's something to consider again about, can I actually invest in something that makes things better for me down the track?
I think it's a really good point, and, you know, it emphasizes the old idea that you can spend to save, sometimes, at least, if you're in a position to. Helen, I'm sure we could talk about the subject all day, but we'll probably have to draw a line under the episode for now. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you today. But before we let you go, if our listeners are interested in, you know, learning more about you and your work, where can they find you?
Yeah, so pop onto onyourown2feet.com.au or any of the socials and send us a message. We're happy to help where we can. I do have two books, so one that's about women's independence, and that, so if you don't want your mother-in-law living with you, you might want to buy that for her. And then you've got also got the divorce book, and that's just trying to help people understand about making good decisions before they sign on the dotted line. And neither of these books are anti-men, so that it's just obviously written for women. But if you as a male are listening and think, what has she got to say? You know, it's all applicable. Just change the shoes to jet skis or tools or whatever floats your boat.
Maybe I need to get myself a jet ski now after hearing that.
That's it. Just sell some things from Facebook Marketplace and then go buy it.
you pegged me well. Helen, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure, like I said.
You're welcome. Take care.
Before we say goodbye, don't forget that we'd love to hear from you if you have any questions, comments, or even story ideas for the show. So to send something our way, make sure you use our dedicated email, which is podcast@moneymag.com.au. And if you love the show, you can help us spread the word by sharing or recommending it to your friends or family. Or you can leave us a glowing review on iTunes or the Apple Podcast app. Both of those really do help us out. So a big thanks to those of you who have already shared or reviewed. Last of all, you can keep up to date with all the latest financial news and views on our website by heading over to moneymag.com.au. That's it for this episode of the Friends with Money podcast, though, but we will be right back in your feeds next week. I'm Tom Watson. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.